My name is Larry French, and I get to be the pastor here at Elmina United Methodist Church, and I have the honor of welcoming you this morning. If this is your first time worshiping here with us, I bid you particular welcome, as it is my first time as well, quite obviously. It is fitting that today's scripture tells of Christ sending a large number of his disciples out before him to tell of his good news for the world. Today is the first Sunday in the pulpit for a great number of clergy, all of whom are trying to figure out where all the light switches are, and this Sunday are introducing themselves to their new congregations. It was the same with these new apostles of Christ, who had to introduce themselves to the people in the towns in which they were sent. I confess to you, brothers and sisters, I am messy. Many of the things Nadia Boltz-Weber said apply to me. And if something there hit home for you as well, well, you're in the right place, my friends. We are a messy people, but God in his infinite love is forever molding us into something new. I am humbled to be sent here as your teacher, your guide, your leader, your servant, and someone to walk alongside you as you navigate the difficult times in life. But that takes trust, and trust takes time. I will be here earning that trust day by day, but for now, I'll simply say hello. And as this is our first Sunday together, I would like to introduce to you my family who has joined us today. And truly, I tell you, apostles are still sent out two by two. For Sharon, my partner in life for the past 22 years, and my partner in ministry, is here by my side today. Also here today is my daughter Morgan and my youngest daughter Haley, who is here with her girlfriend Lane. My oldest daughter Amy couldn't be here today. She lives in Joliet, Illinois, with her fiance Rachel. I ask that you please give them a warm welcome. Thank you. Pastor Brian Strofigan offers a word of distinction that might be worth mentioning. Sometimes we are disciples, that is, learners. And sometimes we are apostles, that is, sent out ones. The old illustration of the Dead Sea might apply to some people. All inflow with no outflow produces death. Without something flowing in, there can be nothing flowing out. One definition of burnout is giving much more than you are receiving. Discipleship without apostleship leads to stagnation. Apostleship without discipleship leads to burnout. Do you follow me, brothers and sisters? A life-giving faith requires both. The inflow from disciplined learning and the outflow of being sent out into the world with a message. So a word of discipleship. I will preach to you each week from Scripture, not chosen randomly, but instead out of a publication called the Revised Common Lectionary. This is a resource you can find for yourself in book form or online simply by looking for the words Revised Common Lectionary and looking for Sunday's date. It's called the Common Lectionary because it is used by a number of Protestant denominations. The lectionary allows pastors to choose from four different texts, always a gospel passage, a selection from the New Testament, a selection from the Old Testament, and a psalm. These selections are such that the pastor can preach a majority of the Bible in 3 years. As disciples, I invite you to read the week's gospel passage before Sunday. Familiarize yourself with the context of the passage by reading a little bit before and a little bit after. It's good to know your Bible. Amen? Amen. And of course, you can always contact me to ask about next week's scripture. Today's scripture begins with the words after this. referring to the last six verses of chapter 9 of the Gospel according to Luke. If we go back and look at these verses, they provide some context, some insight into just who some of these 70 disciples were and what hardships they may have faced, leaving everything behind to be sent out ahead of Jesus. But surely they were a carefully hand-picked lot of pious folks, chosen for their deep dedication to the faith and their masterful use of language, their incredible charm and charisma. No, this isn't how our God works. Remember Moses. Moses, who brought God's people out of slavery, was a murderer who was self-conscious about his stutter. And David. David, who God anointed the greatest king of Israel, lusted after his best friend's wife and murdered him. Amongst Jesus' closest friends, the 12 he called to be his foundation of his church here on earth were fishermen, tax collectors who were the thieves of the day, and a traitor. In the same ways, the 70 were bruised, scarred, and broken people that are as unsure of themselves as we are. Remember, what is new is often messy. One such disciple is still living at home and wants to say goodbye to his family, which very likely would have entailed a lengthy process of setting affairs in order and maybe even a going away party. This man is warned by Jesus not to look back. The time to go is now. There is no time for a party. Another disciple reasonably asks if he can first go bury his father, to which Jesus shockingly replies, "No, let the dead bury their own dead." Harsh as this may sound, coming from a man who wept at his dear friend Lazarus's tomb, it was necessary. Burying this man's father would entail a period of 7 days of mourning after the body was laid to rest. Jesus was expressing just how urgent his mission is. Ordinary life must not deter his disciples from their journey. In today's passage, Jesus tells the 70 not to greet travelers along the way to their destinations because traditional Jewish greetings could be lengthy and ritualistic, taking time and attention away from their urgent task. Jesus instructs these new apostles not to carry extra items with them, no clothes, no purses, no extra sandals, and he says to remain in the house, eating and drinking whatever they provide, for the laborer deserves to be paid. Brothers and sisters, I can testify to Jesus' wisdom here. If only Sharon and I only had the shirts on our backs and the shoes in our feet, we wouldn't be faced with the daunting task of unpacking all the boxes currently taking up space in the parsonage. But make no mistake, Sharon and I are grateful to you. Grateful to you for providing such a wonderful place for us to call home. And we intend to have an open house to invite you all over once we get settled, probably earlier in the fall. The kingdom of God has come near to you. Apostleship is to be sent to live out the kingdom of God here on earth. I challenge you, as apostles of Christ, to recognize the ways in which the kingdom of God has come near to you in the coming week. And share it. Share it with somebody. Let someone know how you see God in the world. Don't be afraid to let it be imperfect. Let it be flawed. Let it be messy. God will use you to make a new thing. We are sent into the world to bring others to the body of Christ. Amen? We live to live in a new way together. Over the rest of July, I will bring you a sermon series in which we will learn about living together in Christian community using the book Three Simple Rules, A Wesleyan Way of Living. I'll use this book paired with the scripture chosen from the Revised Common Lectionary for this sermon series. The book, Three Simple Rules, is available at the Welcome Center in the Narthex for a suggested donation of $8. But please, if this cost is a barrier for you, let me know personally and we will get you a copy. The kingdom of God has come near to you. Send out to heal the sick. These are the words to be spoken to those that welcome the apostles and those who reject them. We are to deliver the same message regardless. No condemnation, no judgment to those who are unwilling to hear the good news, no judgment for those who are just not ready. We are not the judge of who is or who is not worthy of hearing the good news. Judgment lies in the hands of only one. The one who was sent out, fully God, wrapped in nothing but the tender new skin of a human infant. The one who teaches us a better way. The one who came to show us how to love so that we may love each other. Who came to love but was executed by us on the cross. The one who rose from the grave so that he may still show us his infinite love. A love that will not be silenced. A love that will not die. The one who forgives us. The one who heals us. The one that makes us new. The one who sends before him a message sent out by messengers who are far less than perfect. Messengers like you. Messengers who are messy. Brothers and sisters, rejoice, for the kingdom of God has come near to you. Amen.